Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, joined by Jim Garrity of National Review. We are in the second of six year-end installments, special year-end editions, where we hand out some of the most coveted awards, really, in politics, Jim. And last time we talked about the very first awards that we gave out, most overrated, most underrated, most honest politicians. Today, in phase two, we hit three more critical categories, and we start out with Rising Star. Jim?
Sure. Before we begin, Greg, I want to point out that last year I said Ken Cuccinelli, who is now all but certain to be the GOP nominee for governor in Virginia, taking on Terry McAuliffe, was my pick, and then McAuliffe looks pretty beatable. So I looked pretty good last time around. Now, it was a tough year for rising stars in the GOP. A couple of our last couple of folks who you might think of as, you know, Rubio, Jindal, McDonnell, you really wouldn't call them rising stars anymore. I think you could say they've risen, and while there's more. So I'm going to go in a very different direction and not a politician and just kind of talk about someone who's probably familiar to our listenership. Maybe a couple haven't heard of him. But I think represents a tone and a style of conservatism that I think you're going to see more of, and I think we need to see more of. And that's Greg Gutfeld of Fox News. He has a show he's had a show for a couple of years called Red Eye. And the reason it's called that is because it airs at 3 a.m., it's worth noting that even with people either absolute insomniacs watching it or people getting it on their DVR, which is generally how I catch it, it still has higher ratings at 3 a.m. than some CNN shows have at midday, which says something about, you're probably saying, well, why on earth are people DVRing it? And part of it is that Greg Gutfeld is worked at a couple of different magazines, he was like the token conservative at Huffington Post for a while. But this is not a guy who, had internships on the Capitol Hill and working in Republican politics and the Heritage Foundation or something. Some people might describe Gutfeld as the class clown or kind of a bit of a frat boy mentality to him. Extremely irreverent, occasionally off color and definitely weird and out there, but clearly right of center. And I think he's in his mid to late 30s and is a... now on The Five, the Fox News show that airs at 5 with Dana Perino and Bob Beckel and a couple other folks. I know him and like him, and I've seen him preparing for The Five. He's actually very relentless in keeping up with the news and trying to make sure all of his commentary is as, you know, up to date as possible. And I just kind of think there's a certain irreverent and fun, but definitely catchy and appealing style to Gutfeld. And I'd like to see a bit more of it in the conservative movement in Republican politics. This is not to say we all need to be not everyone needs to be zany and off kilter and wacky and funny and all that stuff. I mean, this is a big movement with room for lots of personalities. But if you want to say, you know, Republicans and conservatives have become the stodgy old, I think Greg Gutfeld is the walking embodiment that kind of refutes all of that. And I really hope to see he's got a new book out. And I just hope to see bigger and better things for him in the years to come.
Yeah, he's very entertaining, and I'm glad he's got a broader audience now on The Five. And he's extremely witty. He's a great writer. He has different rants that he puts together on The Five, and he's very clever and far more quirky on Red Eye. But if that's your taste.
It definitely is the working hours Greg Gutfeld and then the after dark Greg Gutfeld. So
definitely,
you may want to ease yourself in if you're not familiar with him.
Definitely right. I'm going to go a little more conventional here. I love that choice, by the way, though. And go with, in a brutal Senate cycle for Republicans pretty much across the board, one, actually it's more than one that's got coming to Washington that I'm excited about because Jeff Flake is going to be great too. But Ted Cruz out of Texas, a phenomenal performance at the Republican National Convention. Not a note, not a teleprompter in front of him. Just really presented his personal story and why conservatism is the right way forward for people of all demographic boxes. He also went up against really the establishment in Texas. The lieutenant governor there was pretty much primed to be the de facto Senate nominee. Cruz said, no, I'm going to challenge this. There were a number of candidates in the race, so it ended up in a runoff. And in the end, since nobody got 50% in the primary, Cruz won quite handily. With Jim DeMint stepping down now, we need another great Tea Party voice in the Senate. Cruz is going to be that guy, along with Mike Lee and Rand Paul and Rubio and some of these other guys. And so I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do. He's a young guy. He can appeal, hopefully, to people who, for the most part, have resisted the Republican Party before. And I think that'll be a great thing for conservatism. And I think it'll be a great thing for the Senate. And hopefully it'll lead to some great policies being passed as well.
A great choice, Greg. I want to point out that actually, as I was putting together my list, I actually thought about Ted Cruz. I thought, nah, I bet you Greg's going to pick him.
That's the great thing about us. We can always kind of figure where the other one's going to go. Let's see if we have different choices here. Who is the political figure, or any figure really, fading into oblivion this year?
Well, I want to say, just as I was kind of proud of my Cuccinelli pick for being on the road to stardom, 1 year ago on this program, I said, I think we will look back on Herman Cain and say, what was that all about? And here we are in December 2012, and I think it's safe to say that Herman Cain has not been the energizing national figure that he briefly appeared to be in the fall of 2011. I think there's a nice man. I don't mean to pick on him or anything, but I'm just going to observe that sometimes you have these guys, and they're just the political equivalent of the Macarena, Gangnam Style. Just they catch the moment, lightning in a bottle, and then, you know, they're the one-hit wonders. And then once, like, what was that all about? So this is a slightly different direction for this pick, but I think it still fits. Fairly or not, I think Mitt Romney is not going to have a big influence on American politics in the years to come. He has been relatively quiet since losing the election in November. The two things he did. He did a conference call with donors in which he said, basically argued that Obama had bought off blacks, Hispanics, and young people. And I don't think that was a constructive or helpful message for the party. I think it really was kind of came across as a sore loser. And of all the things he could do after the election, Greg, he announced that he was rejoining the board of directors of the JW Marriott Corporation, which just, you know, for a guy who was argued, you depicted as a, you know, corporate stooge, it just seemed like a very strange first step to take back into public life after a very natural, you know, private time away from the public spotlight. This is a guy who doesn't really have any branch of the party that really kind of madly is in love with him, so to speak. I mean, I think he's widely respected and liked and appreciated, but that I don't think you have like a lot of diehard Romneyites who want to push on the Romney brand and the Romney philosophy in Republican politics. There is no Romneynomics like there was Reaganomics or anything like that. So I think, you know, I mean, maybe you'll see that sort of phenomenon for Paul Ryan, but I don't think Mitt Romney is going to have a lasting. I don't think in like the 2014 midterms, people will be clamoring for Mitt Romney's endorsement or during any moment of crisis, Republicans will be asking themselves, what does Mitt Romney think? I just don't see that happening. And so I think maybe it's best that Mitt Romney gets to enjoy a happy, active retirement.
Well, I have three comments in response to what you had to say about the first of all, the events of last year. First of all, Herman Cain, I think you were pretty much right on there. He didn't get 15 minutes of fame. I think it's more appropriate to say he got 9 minutes of fame.
9, 9, 9. 9, 9, 9. 27 minutes of fame.
I guess that would be. Mine last year, I believe, was Anthony Weiner. So I'm happy to see that so far that has been proven out to be right. And as much as we just patted ourselves on the back for having different choices for the first one, I also went with Mitt Romney for fading into oblivion. It's obvious he's not going to run again. I don't see him injecting himself into a lot of different public debates of any kind moving forward. I think he's content to do exactly what you mentioned he was doing, going back to boards, enjoying his family, and pretty much staying out of public life. And I think what he's going to put into these two different presidential campaigns, and the American people said no, and he's happy to enjoy the wealth that he generated through his hard work, and more power to him, I guess. You're right that the conservative movement is not going to be clamoring to think about what Mitt Romney would do, and they'll be moving on to different personalities in 2014 and 2016. So last topic is sorry to see you go, Jim.
This was sadly the very easiest category for me. I do it instantly. Andrew Breitbart is the guy who I am still periodically shaking my head over how a guy so young could be suddenly struck down by health ailments. I was not really personally close with him, chatted with him a few times, hung out with him on an NR cruise. And I would say it's kind of, it was just this spring, and it feels like it was years ago. A lot has happened since then, including a documentary made of his about his life and such. It's been interesting discussion in some circles about whether there's kind of a Some people have referred to it as kind of the cult of Breitbart. People have made little T-shirts saying Breitbart is here. People have modified the World War II slogan to say "Keep calm, Andrew Breitbart expects you to carry on." That he really kind of has become almost this mythological figure to those of us in conservative circles. And some people might argue that's how healthy that is. But I'm just going to observe that if you're going to have a cult of personality, Andrew Breitbart is precisely the kind of personality you want to build that cult around. I think he earned that level of devotion. The day that he died and then afterwards, it seemed like every single person on their Facebook and on their Twitter feed had a picture of themselves with Andrew Breitbart. And he, it said something, one, that he was the kind of figure everybody wanted to have their picture taken. But two, it seemed like every single person who ever asked him for that, he paused and took the time to do that and had those conversations with. And so we have seen life goes on. The conservative movement goes on. Breitbart.com goes on with a lot of good folks over there. But I think it's safe to say that he was an irreplaceable figure we're going to be thinking about and talking about and saying, what would Andrew think of this for a long time to come?
And he obviously pioneered different tactics of confrontation, calling the media out on its biases. And I think he has inspired a lot of people to keep doing that. Whether or not anyone can ever fill the role that he had in the movement is yet to be seen. It was very hard to fill those shoes. And he is a one of a kind and very irreplaceable. And I had a feeling you would go there, so I decided to go in a couple different directions here. There's one that did pass away, but two that are departing the political scene from the congressional side. One is Ron Paul from the House side, and just his unique brand of explaining over and over and over again what the Constitution does permit and doesn't permit, and his very consistent message. Whether you agreed with it or not, he was consistent. He loved small government. He fought passionately for small government. Wherever he didn't feel the Constitution granted the government power to do something, he let you know about it. On the Senate side, just quiet, competent, conservative work over the past 18 years, John Kyle in the Senate. Sorry to see him go, although Jeff Flake's going to be great. And for those who did pass away, Neil Armstrong, also just a quiet hero, obviously one of the great American icons of all time for the moon landing in 1969. So obviously, and from a political perspective, the passing of Andrew Breitbart is definitely, for us in the conservative world, the biggest loss of the year.
This is always like my least favorite martini. I understand why, or least favorite category. And we should never have it last again because it's such a downer note to end on. But we have other fun categories coming up tomorrow, folks. So, it'll be brighter and cheerier.
Yeah, absolutely right. So two of our six year-end specials are in the books. Be sure to join us next time for the third installment. Jim, have a great day and Merry Christmas tomorrow.
Merry Christmas to you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Again, Merry Christmas to all. And we will be back again on the 26th for our third installment of the year-end awards on the Three Martini Lunch.